Beloved hearers of God's word, grace and peace to you from the one who was and who is to come. Amen. It's quite the thing to be asked to lead our reflection after such a quiet and uneventful week in the world. I mean, whatever could there be for us to be considering? Obviously, I'm being a bit sarcastic here, more than a bit. I want to start just by saying, how are you? How are you? Ordinarily, we would gather together in person, be in the Denson Lounge, we'd been in the parking lot. We'd be in the nave, we'd be in the narthex, be in the offices, and we would be clinging to each other, trying to understand what we're living through. It's quite remarkable, as if a global pandemic wasn't enough, as if the other movements that we've seen over 2020 weren't enough. This last week, and particularly the events, the uprising, the insurrection, to use the language that has been used, on the Feast of the Epiphany, to our neighbors to the south, our brothers and sisters, sometimes literally our brothers and sisters. It's a remarkable time. It is a historically consequential time, if there ever was one. And I'm just wondering, how's everybody doing? Hopefully we'll have opportunity to check in a little better and closer with each other during our coffee hour that follows this. It hurts. Hurts me anyway. Christy and I lived in Berkeley, California, for about a half a year in 2008. We were there when Barack Obama was elected the first Black president of the United States. And we remember that time so well, and the celebration and the elation of that historical moment and the friends that we made during that time. And to see so many events that have taken place since that time, and to people that we know and we love, what they're going through, well, it hurts. It hurts our hearts. It's a time of pain and instability and lawlessness. It is not, I think, too strong to call it apocalyptic. And I don't mean that in the sense that maybe some fiery preachers might mean it. The kind of the world is ending, but I mean it in the true sense of an apocalypse, or its related word, revelation, a revealing, an unveiling, an uncovering of things that for so long have been shaded, hidden. And I think whether it's the pandemic or Trumpism in general, or the Me Too movement, or the Black Lives Matter, Brown Lives Matter, the rising concern for LGBTQ plus persons and their dignity, there have been so much that has been unveiled over this last year. So much injustice, duplicity, racism, privilege, poverty, resentments. Truly is a time of unveiling, an apocalyptic moment. And I don't think that's too strong to say. So here we gather seemingly far away from it all, on this celebration of the baptism of Jesus. But we know we're not far removed. If the global pandemic has taught us anything, it is just how connected that we are. We breathe the same air, literally. Someone coughs on one side of the world, and a few short months later, the intensive care beds are overrun in another part of the world. We are interconnected in ways that we just cannot deny. And so whether it is who's in control of the nuclear codes in the United States, I think we all have a right to feel that we have a stake in what's going on in the world. We have a stake in what's going on in our times right now. And we're not just, as sometimes we can be as Canadians, sitting back from a distance and kind of looking with some condescension on our American brothers and sisters. We all have a stake in what's going on, and I think it genuinely hurts us to see the trouble and the pain. It is a time when we can tell that our actions affect others. It's a time when we can see clearly that words matter. Our words make a difference. And whether it's Twitter or Facebook or even our ability to connect on Zoom, our words can lift up and our words can tear down. We are so connected in the spirit. When facing such enormous events, I know I can feel powerless and helpless. But I think it's a good time for us to remind ourselves about that very wise adage to think globally and act locally. Something St. John's has been known for decades. To think globally and act locally. We're not helpless. We're not powerless. We can't do everything. But we can do something. And to love our neighbor means that we are never without concern or without power. I hate to get all theological on you, but I'm going to continue in this vein because I'm reminded at this time, in fact, of what Jesus called the year of the Lord's favor. It's the Jubilee practices in the Hebrew Bible. Many of you will be familiar with these. Every 7 years, there's a kind of minor Jubilee where the wrongs that have accumulated are addressed and set right. And then every 7 weeks of 7 years, so 7 times 7 years, 49, every 50th year is a Jubilee year where debts are canceled, slaves are freed, land is returned, dignity is restored. And perhaps what we're seeing is a kind of a Jubilee moment unfolding around the world right now, here at home, and more obviously, just to the south. It's that recognition, the biblical wisdom and recognition that over time, corruption and injustice will collect and build up in any society, in any system, and requires the periodic reset, the hard stop to restart again, so that grievances, injustices, hurts, lies, they can all be dropped and we can begin again. So perhaps, this feast of Jesus's baptism is a good moment for us to remember that his first sermon following his baptism was to declare the year of the Lord's favor, a jubilee, a setting right of the historic wrongs that had collected and built up in systems and society. We're reminded of the wisdom of our elders preserved in Scripture, lessons learned the hard way and passed on to us to save us from those calamities, if we'll only listen, eyes to see, ears to hear. The other thing that's on my mind as we're walking through this historically consequential time is a second epidemic, the opioid epidemic. And those of us who work on the front lines with those most marginalized, those most traumatized in our society, understand that that too is an epidemic that's killing far, far too many people. It's interesting that we've had other drug epidemics before, but opioids are about dropping out of society. They're about pain management. Other drugs like, you know, cocaine or speed, things like that, are about increasing our engagement in society. Whereas opioids, literally street name down, is about numbing the pain that one's feeling, physical or existential, mental, spiritual. It's about getting some relief from living in a life and a world that is so hurtful. So I wonder on this day, we who are followers of Jesus, how do we make the world a less painful place for those around us? We think globally, we act locally. And how can we in our circles, in our spheres of influence, make the world a less painful place for others? So there's not such a demand for things like opioids that would numb and desensitize a person from their struggles and pain. As the toxic spiritus, breath, of the coronavirus swirls across the globe without respect for borders, ideologies, beliefs, there is an even stronger spirit, though, that also swirls without respect for those boundaries. And that's the Holy Spirit, the life-giving Spirit of God. And it's working overtime to preserve life, to bring justice, to bring healing and wholeness. So, what I want to invite us to do today, in that spirit of thinking globally and acting locally, and on this occasion of the remembering of Jesus' own baptism, is for us to recall our own baptismal vows, those promises we made to live out the belief that we hold for the God who is our creator, the one who redeemed us and walked among us. And yes, the Holy Spirit that continues to connect us in these very disconnected times. Those words and those promises are familiar. And in a time such as this, I know I reach for some things that are familiar and steady to help light my path and to remind me who I am as things swirl around in confusion. You've heard me say it before, but I'll say it again. I was once asked, well, there's an old saying about why do we go to church every week? And of course, the answer is because it only takes 6 days for us to forget who we are. We go every week because it only takes 6 days to forget who we are. And so let us remind ourselves with these familiar words that lead to our local actions that follow in the steps of Jesus. So what I will do is I'm going to invite you to respond with, I will, with God's help, to the promises that we affirm once again in how we live out our baptismal faith. Remember, you are God's beloved child with whom God is well pleased. Will you continue in the apostles' teaching, in the fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in the prayers? I will with God's help. Will you persevere in resisting evil? And whenever you fall into sin, repent and return to the Lord. I will with God's help. Will you proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ? I will with God's help. Will you seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving your neighbor as yourself? I will with God's help. Will you strive for justice and peace among all people and respect the dignity of every human being? I will with God's help. Strengthen, O God, your servants with your Holy Spirit. Empower us for your service. Sustain us all the days of our life. Amen.